Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 1150 of the Juice Box Podcast. Faggy is 45 years old, and her son Daniel was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes about 2 years ago when he was 10. There's celiac, thyroid issues, including Hashimoto's, and Crohn's disease in their family. Faggy actually has MS and was diagnosed with it 2 years ago at the same time as her son began with his type 1 journey. Please don't forget that nothing you hear on the Juice Box Podcast should be considered advice, medical or otherwise. Always consult a physician before making any changes to your healthcare plan or becoming bold with insulin. Do you have type 1 diabetes or are you the caregiver of someone with type 1? If you've answered yes to that and you're a US citizen, please go to t1dexchange.org/juicebox and complete the survey. This will take you less than 10 minutes and you will be helping people living with type 1 diabetes. You'll likely help yourself and you're definitely going to be supporting the show. t1dexchange.org/juicebox. When you place your first order for AG1 with my link, you'll get 5 free travel packs and a free year supply of vitamin D. drinkag1.com/juicebox. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth is where I get my clothing, linens, and towels from. They are incredibly comfortable and temperate. I love them. I really do love them. And I love that I can give you an offer code that will save you 40% off of your entire order. Just use the offer code JUICEBOX at checkout and you will save 40% at CozyEarth.com. Today's episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by Dexcom. Makers of the Dexcom G7 and G6 continuous glucose monitoring systems. Dexcom.com/juicebox. US Med is sponsoring this episode of the Juice Box Podcast, and we've been getting our diabetes supplies from US Med for years. You can as well. usmed.com/juicebox or call 888-721-1514. Use the link or the number, get your free benefits check, and get started today with US Med.
Hi, my name is Faggy, and my son Daniel was diagnosed with diabetes about 2 years ago after coming home from camp.
How old is Daniel now?
He's 12.
Daniel's 12, so he was diagnosed around 10. And Faggy, are there other autoimmune issues in your family?
Yes, a lot. And listening to your podcast has made me realize the connections. We have celiac, we have thyroid issues, including Hashimoto's. I have MS, actually. My husband has Crohn's disease, so we have a lot of them.
Wow. How about going past you and your husband down family lines? Do you see more?
With cousins and like relatives spread out, we see the celiac and the thyroid things. Not really anything else. And there's no other diabetes.
No other diabetes. Okay. So Daniel's the first type 1.
Yeah.
How did it present?
It was kind of crazy. So basically, when I got diagnosed with MS, I had like a big, whatever you call it, flare up. And I had a lot of crazy symptoms. And I'm in the hospital. They're trying to figure out what's going on. So Daniel was supposed to go to summer camp for like 4 weeks. It was his first time going away. And it was like right after COVID, only some camps were open and I wasn't feeling well. And we were like, let's just send him away. So he ended up going and having a great time. And the camp called me and basically said, we know like you're not feeling well. Let him stay the second month. Like, it's fine. He's having a great time. He wants to stay. We'll give you a great deal. Even though I was really nervous, I said, okay. And some point in camp, things started to go south, but like I wasn't there. So I didn't realize, you know, They called me to say that he had wet the bed and I thought it was so strange. And I'm like, that's weird. And everyone was like, oh, he's under so much stress because you're sick. Like, it's probably because of that. And then they said he was vomiting. They didn't pick up on it, which whatever is really upsetting.
Okay. Well, so let me ask a question. How does your MS diagnosis present? Like, what happened to you to put you in that situation?
So like about a year prior to my actual diagnosis, I had like a weird, a headache with weird visual changes in one eye. Mm-hmm. And that ended up with the doctors saying they did an MRI that they're watching for MS. Right now, it doesn't look like MS, but they're watching. It may turn into MS. And then about a year later, I had a full-on episode. Half of my face was numb. My taste was affected. The hearing on one side was affected. Double vision for like an hour after I woke up in the morning. No balance. Like I couldn't get up, walk. So it was pretty intense.
Wow. That's crazy. How old were you when that happened?
It was about 2 years ago. So 43.
Okay. Anyone else in the family have that?
No. No.
And MS is autoimmune. Correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Your body is attacking the nerves.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to ask a question. This is a shot in the dark. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm right, I am. But your first name, you're Jewish, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you Orthodox?
Yep. Orthodox Jewish. Yes.
Okay. I'm getting this quickly. Don't worry, Faye. Yeah, I see what's happening. have you and I met?
No, wow. I am on the Facebook group. Actually, my nickname, Faye Chang, that's whatever. It's a long story, but I'm on your Facebook group and we've had some, you know, back and forth, but no, we've never met.
Okay. I did a big Orthodox event last year, so I wasn't certain if we met at it or not.
I know about that event actually. And I saw on a chat afterward, they loved you.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm glad. I actually thought, I'm like, I'll never know. And they have that, yeah, like a WhatsApp chat or something like that. I was like, right. If they hate me, they'll just talk about me incessantly in there and I'll never know about it.
So what happened was I had just joined that chat. A lot of them are actually Hasidic. I'm not Hasidic. Mm-hmm. And I don't speak Yiddish. I only speak English. My family is very American. But I joined that chat and then I saw you post this cryptic thing on the Facebook group, like that said, I'm going to an event where like people won't be able to communicate with me after, or won't be on the Facebook group. And please send me like some information. I don't know. And I said to my husband, oh my God, he's going to go to that event. I want to go.
Well,
I found out you were going, but it was only for adults with diabetes. It was not for kids. Right. So I couldn't go.
First of all, it was a great time. There were like 400 people there. It was a huge, huge event. Oh my God. Yeah.
Wow.
The group asked me not to publicize their event, but I had like a couple of questions. I was like, I don't know how to do this and this. And anyway, I learned a lot that weekend.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But the reason I asked is because your social circles can be smaller then. And so that when you start meeting people with autoimmune, like you might start marrying people with autoimmune and getting more autoimmune. And that's what I was wondering about. Yes. When we were talking.
Yes. You know, there's actually... it's not autoimmune, but there's a genetic disease that Orthodox Jews actually from European descent test for before they even date or marry, because it was running, like you said, it was like people kind of marrying in the same circles.
Oh.
And it became a concern. Yeah.
No kidding. Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you know, did that help? Did it get ahead of the problem when they started doing that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone in those circles will test, and people will not get married if they're both carriers, because it's a devastating early death like disease. Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm now envisioning like a dating system with swiping where you get a blood test first and it eliminates people who will put you in these situations. But nobody
take
that idea. No one take that idea. That's mine. Copyright.
So my husband is Iraqi, so I don't have the same. His dad was born in Baghdad, so he doesn't have those European genes. Even Crohn's disease is very rare among people and from his, where he comes from. It's weird that he has it.
I see. Oh, that's something else. Okay. The Dexcom G7 is sponsoring this episode of the Juice Box Podcast, and it features a lightning fast 30-minute warm-up time. That's right. From the time you put on the Dexcom G7 till the time you're getting readings, 30 minutes. That's pretty great. It also has a 12-hour grace period, so you can swap your sensor when it's convenient for you. All that on top of it being small, accurate, incredibly wearable and light, These things, in my opinion, make the Dexcom G7 a no-brainer. The Dexcom G7 comes with way more than just this. Up to 10 people can follow you. You can use it with type 1, type 2, or gestational diabetes. It's covered by all sorts of insurances. And this might be the best part. It might be the best part. Alerts and alarms that are customizable so that you can be alerted at the levels that make sense to you. Dexcom.com/juicebox. Links in the show notes. Links at juiceboxpodcast.com to Dexcom and all the sponsors. When you use my links, you're supporting the production of the podcast and helping to keep it free and plentiful. I'm sitting here right now. It's late at night recording ads, and I'm wearing the most comfortable joggers I've ever touched in my life. They're from Cozy Earth. And if you use my link in the show notes, everything you see at CozyEarth.com will automatically be 40% off. Or you can go to CozyEarth.com, pick whatever you want, and then at checkout, use the offer code JUICEBOX, and again, you will save 40% off of everything in your cart. CozyEarth.com. Comfortable and quality. Those are the words that come to mind when I think about my Cozy Earth towels, sheets, and clothing. CozyEarth.com. Use the offer code JUICEBOX at checkout to live the life of luxury. Or use the link in the show notes and see what all the prices look like with the 40% already off. CozyEarth.com. All right, so you're getting MS. I'm sorry, that does not sound good. And there, it's a stressful thing for the family in general. So people are believing that like your son's just not well because he's not handling that well.
I mean, at first, that's what people thought, you know, and the nurses at camp, I wish that the nurse would have just done a simple blood test. What happened in the end was I was getting more and more nervous. I almost wanted to pick him up because he was vomiting and like he was really sick.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I told my husband, I'm coming with you to the bus stop to pick him up. So we get there and he gets off the bus and I didn't recognize him. He had lost like 25 pounds. He was breathing strange. He was completely confused. He didn't say, hey, mom, how are you? He's like, I think my backpack is still on the bus. Immediately, I knew something was really wrong.
Yeah.
And I brought him to the car. I said to my husband, set the GPS. We're going straight to the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Right. How long had he been gone?
8 weeks.
8 weeks, he lost 25 pounds?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So he's in DKA when he gets off the bus.
Severe.
Yeah.
I mean, he was breathing that you talked about, that deep breath kind of situation.
Kusmal respirations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So then it became a complete nightmare because we start driving to the doctor. My husband's like, oh, he's probably just not feeling well. Let's take him home. He still is like terrified that he almost like tried to convince me to bring him home. Mm-hmm. And the doctor didn't want to take him. One of the doctors was out on emergency and they said they have no space. And they sent me to like this, I don't know, walk-in type of situation, emergency. And it was still like COVID. I went there and the lady told me 3-hour wait. And I said, can you please triage him? He's not breathing right. No one would listen to me. So finally, I called someone in my family. I was hysterical, like screaming on the phone. Something is wrong with my kid and no one wants to see them. I think I'm going to go to the hospital, but I don't know if that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And like, finally, I don't know, my brother-in-law just said to me, go to the doctor and just walk in. So that's what I did. And the nurse said, you know, he said he had to pee. You know, let him pee in a cup. And then, of course, within minutes, the doctor came in and said to me, you need to go straight to the hospital.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Give me a second. That in most doctors' offices, the first person you speak to is often not a medical person.
She was a receptionist.
Yeah. It's interesting. So you would think that, I don't know. Like I like your brother-in-law's idea. Like just show up, they'll look at him and go, oh my God, help him. And you know, it's a good idea.
At my doctor's office, I've never had issues like this, and it was really upsetting. Mm. And actually, the main doctor gave me his cell phone number and said to me, if anything ever happens like this again, call my cell phone. This is ridiculous. Like,
okay, well,
because they didn't want to see him. They were fighting with me, which is crazy.
Yeah. You also know when people are really upset, they're either really in trouble or crazy. And so,
right. Yeah. But my doctor's office knows me. And although it can be a little crazy, I am not the person that calls them every 5 seconds. This happened, my kid. I have like 6 kids, thank God, you know, and I don't run in for every little thing. Mm. So if I'm calling you, they should know. If I'm calling you hysterical, something's really wrong.
Yeah. I take your point. I really do. Okay. So he gets in there, they dip his urine and go ahead.
We started driving to the hospital because it was only 6 minutes away. And the doctor actually called me and said, pull over and call an ambulance. They're busy and he needs immediate care. And Scott, he was passing out while I was waiting for the ambulance on the side of the road.
Wow.
I'm standing outside my car and I'm banging on the window trying to like wake him up because he was passing out.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So they, in the ambulance, they took him to, we're near LIJ and they were amazing, but it was so scary. It was like a movie because they didn't stop moving. They wheeled him in. They didn't even stop. And 3 nurses were on him trying to get IVs in like 3 different places. Whatever. Thank God they told me, we know what this is and we know how to treat it. But they didn't say, oh, he's going to be fine. I mean, he was really bad. It was very scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's anybody who's ever been in like an emergency medical situation, they will often give you reassurance. And when they don't offer the reassurance, it does make you think like, oh, wow, like they didn't take the time to say, don't worry, this will be all right. And and plus I'm assuming you were standing on the road waiting to wave down an ambulance and at the same time trying to parent the situation. That is what was going on, right? Yeah. Wow.
Right. And unfortunately, my younger son was in the car. So he was 6 and he's a very anxious kid and he is watching all this play out and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm saying he hears me screaming at the doctors and he watches us get into an ambulance. You know, my husband drove him home. I went to the hospital with my other son. Like, it wasn't good for him either.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
the trauma.
I was going to say that didn't help him that day. Stare at the wall, like cover.
No,
your,
and yeah, then yeah. The kid comes home, and he needs shots every second, and he's like, "Oh my God, that's a thing. Mm. You can like go to the hospital and then come home, and you need a shot every 5 minutes."
Yeah.
Like,
how's he doing now? The 6-year-old.
He's 8 now and he's got ADD and he's adorable. He's very helpful to his brother and he loves to kind of be involved. He could probably talk to you about diabetes. He could talk circles around anyone. He knows everything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm hoping he doesn't have too many bad memories from this. Well, I'm interested in the progression from like disoriented to passing out to when he comes back around. How long does that take?
I mean, we were in the intensive care unit for 5 days.
5 days.
His potassium was off. His heart, there was like, I thank God his heart is fine now, but it was a lot. It was so involved. He did wake up, I would say, a few hours later. And I said to the nurses, like, please don't tell him right away what's going on. Let him get a little stronger. Let him get. And they, one of them was like, no, mom, he has to know he's going to deal with this for life. And I'm thinking, okay, I know, but he needs like an hour or two, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he handled it like a pro. He's got a great attitude. He's an amazing kid.
Nice.
He was comforting me in the hospital because I stayed with him and I wasn't feeling so well. And he's like singing to me and trying to make me feel better.
Oh, that's very nice. I would not have done
he's
that.
An amazing-
I would have been like, hey, I don't know if you just saw what happened to me, but it's my day. So
no, it was mostly all his day. But there were times when he saw that, he noticed that it was hard for me.
Wow.
He's an awesome kid.
Oh, that's excellent. So do they start him with any technology? I mean, does he leave on shots or pens? Did they talk to you about CGMs? I used to hate ordering my daughter's diabetes supplies. I never had a good experience and it was frustrating, but it hasn't been that way for a while, actually for about 3 years now, because that's how long we've been using US Med. USmed.com/juicebox or call 888-721-1514. US Med is the number one distributor for Freestyle Libre systems nationwide. They are the number one specialty distributor for Omnipod Dash, the number one fastest growing tandem distributor nationwide, the number one rated distributor in Dexcom customer satisfaction surveys. They have served over 1 million people with diabetes since 1996. and they always provide 90 days worth of supplies and fast and free shipping. US Med carries everything from insulin pumps and diabetes testing supplies to the latest CGMs like the Libre 3 and Dexcom G7. They accept Medicare nationwide and over 800 private insurers. Find out why US Med has an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau at usmed.com/juicebox or just call them at 888-721-1514. Get started right now and you'll be getting your supplies the same way we do.
So we got some pretty good education in the hospital for like, you know, first level type of stuff. Mm-hmm. He left with pens. It was very overwhelming when they tried to explain the math to me. I was almost hysterical. It's too much to handle when you're like dealing with all this. And I made my mom stay and listen. They're telling me add up this, divide by this. It was like very overwhelming. We went home with pens. We actually went home for one night and then went on a family vacation, kind of like where we are now.
Really?
With extended family. Yes. The doctor said, you take the insulin, you take food, like you're going to be good. You take the blood, you know, the blood test, blood glucose test kit. There's no reason why you need to be home. So he had a ton of support. The family like rallied around him. They sang a song because we call him Noki is his nickname. They said, do the Noki Pokey every time he like stuck his finger. And like he had a lot of support, but we were waking up in the middle of the night. We were very high, running high, correcting, calling the doctor every few hours.
Yeah. In hindsight, are you glad you went?
Yes.
Okay. Does the Noki Pokey involve turning around? That was my other question.
He was dancing. But I mean, it I think started the foundation of a very healthy acceptance of his disease and like ability to laugh at it. And I think it's the attitude is so important for a kid dealing with it. Mm. He doesn't hide it. And he got, you know, he got the validation from everyone. And my brother, who's an actuary, did all the math in his head for me. It was great.
I have to tell you, the math is what freaked me out because I really did relate to what you were saying. Like, you don't recognize that you're not doing well in a crisis. Do you know what I mean? Like you think because you're standing up and listening and not crying that you're doing okay, but that's not true. Like you really are I've always said like, it feels like somebody just whacks you in the head with a shovel and then starts asking you questions.
Right.
Yeah. And then when someone, you know, starts talking to you about math, at least for me, I was like, wait, what? This sounds reasonably easy, but I can't follow. I don't know what's happening right now. Yeah. So.
Right. You're in like a fog.
Oh my God. And I've been thinking a lot about this lately because we're going to make a series that's for healthcare providers.
Yes. I asked you to do that. Yay.
Jenny and I are doing that. So we're in the planning stages right now. It's hard because there's like the hospital, right? And then there's people's opinions, like that nurse saying to you, like, he needs to know. But you were just saying, like, give him like 45 minutes before you tell him. And like, and now she's got her own personal beliefs that are he and they're kind of pushing them. And you're asking your thing. And you need to learn about this because you're going to go home. But obviously, the hospital is not a great place to learn these things. So what should the process be? And what should people know along the way? What should emergency staff know? How quickly should you get to another doctor? Like, you know, if you can't get to a doctor, is there a way to train you online? Like, that's the stuff we've been thinking a lot about. So it's interesting to hear the story. Yeah.
Online training from you sounds great.
Well, we'll see. So Jenny and I are going to, we're figuring it out right now. But anyway.
Amazing.
Yeah. So you guys are on vacation. Everybody rallies around him. He's doing well. He's got a good attitude. You get back home. What happens? Is it when do you realize you don't know enough? Do you go to another appointment? How does that work?
So we got a CGM fairly quickly, within maybe like 4 weeks or so. The doctor really wanted it right away. I didn't even understand all the benefits. They just told me, oh, you won't have to prick his finger. You won't have to wake up in the middle of the night. They didn't tell me anything about the arrows. You know, they got him on a Dexcom, was a G6. And they told me about the pumps. And he was very interested in waiting for the Omnipod 5. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they kept pushing off the date. And finally, we said, okay, let's just get him on the T-Slim. It was his choice. And he, you know, we wanted an algorithm pump.
Yeah.
We thought it was amazing. It was explained to me, by the way, as if I would not have to interact with it. Like, oh, it's just going to, you know, correct him when he needs it. And it's just going to, I was not given the proper training really for the T-Slim.
They gave you that feeling of like, oh, you're getting the pump. It'll take care of everything.
Touch and go. Yep.
Oh, that's a shame. That from what office? Like, who told you that?
The endo? Endocrinology office. Yeah. Yeah.
Again, words are very important. You know, you have to use them in the correct order and use the correct words. And yeah, it's just one person's slight misunderstanding that they don't recognize will send you in a direction. And they have such power over you in the beginning because you're listening and you're taking everything as gospel. Like everything they say, you're like, well, this is this. This is an automatic pump. Great. I won't have to do that. Who even knew that existed? This is wonderful. Like it's.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And I'm a person that really does dig into things and I try to find out things for myself, but I really thought the doctor was giving me everything I needed. I had no idea what was out there. No idea. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even a Facebook person. I mean, now I'm on your group. I joined Facebook just for your group.
I've got a couple of people like that I've drug into Facebook. By the way, I'm one of them, Peggy. I wasn't exactly using Facebook a lot either before all this, but anyway, okay. All right. So you get the algorithm, the T-Slim, right? And
yeah.
Well, let's break it down first. How did you like the CGM?
So the CGM was amazing. It definitely helped, but it also made me realize that like we suck at this. Like we're not like getting, he was high. He was like high a lot. Mm-hmm. And they did not allow me to ever give correct. It was like the 3-hour rule with the corrections. I had no idea that like I could be adjusting settings myself or, you know, changing numbers or anything like that. I found your podcast while I was on the T-Slim and my husband one of his students' parents had diabetes. He's a teacher, he's a science teacher. And they told him about the podcast. I really just like out of curiosity, like I know how to do all this already. Like I really thought I knew everything.
It'll be fine.
So sad.
How do you find the podcast? Is it just searching online?
No, she told one of my husband's students' parents.
Oh, the one. Okay, I'm sorry.
Told him. She like was at parent-teacher conference. And in her 5 minutes, she said, I heard your son got diagnosed. This podcast, Juicebox Podcast, tell your wife. Like, it's amazing.
Oh, thank you.
So I think the first episode I heard with my husband, we were in the car, was a woman from India. Mm-hmm. Whose daughter has diabetes. And she was talking about how it was so hard to get the right equipment and how no one understood type 1 in India. It wasn't very, you know, but there were like a few things thrown in here and there that gave me pause. And then I was listening to one of your episodes and I heard you say something about Arden, like 120, you're correcting. And I was completely shocked.
Oh,
I think I listened to that part like 4 times. I said, wait, what?
Everybody,
wait,
listen.
Is he being sarcastic now? Like,
am I not hearing sarcasm? Which would be crazy because of your background. You should definitely be able to hear sarcasm. And or maybe I misunderstood. Yeah, I think that it's a great example again of like whatever they tell you in the beginning, you're like, okay, this is it. You know, don't correct high numbers. All right, we won't. And you know, that's alone. Could lead you on a lifetime of problems. And I just don't understand. What I don't understand, Figgy, is I go through, because, you know, to make this series that I was talking about, what we did was we went online and asked people, like, what do you wish your doctor would have told you? And we got back like 85, like in a document, 85 pages of information from people. And so we poured through it, took out duplicates, you know, put them into, you know, under headers and sections. And what you overwhelmingly take away is that whatever I was told first, I believed, and that was a rule to me. And that leads you down a path you don't come back from because you never question it again. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And so you're getting this information either from well-meaning people with strong personalities, like you got to tell him now because he's got to live with this for his whole life. Like, and that person, by the way, that's not a bad, like, statement. It just, they just misunderstood what you were saying in that moment. And, you know, right. And then they have their own dogma that they're attached to. And so now they're pushing you in that direction. And it's just, so anyway, so all these people's like information comes back. What do I wish? What do I wish would have happened? And along the way, you intersect so many different doctors who were just kind of talking. They don't like the, you know, the person in the emergency room, it tells you the bare bones stuff that they think you need to know, but nobody ever finishes sentences. And I think that's the takeaway is you say to somebody, instead of saying, look, these are your basal rates and this is your correction factor, you say today, based on weight, you know, whatever else, we're going to make your settings this, but these settings are going to change for a number of reasons moving forward. Reasons like activity, weight, age, hormones. Like, if you just knew that, you'd say, okay, well, these are today's settings. They're going to change. But instead, you say, these are the settings. And then when you move forward and start seeing high blood sugars, you never question the settings again because somebody told right. you. Yeah. And that, I think, is the core problem.
Just knowing that it would be flexible would change your whole outlook. It would yes. make you more flexible. Oh, this might change. Like, right. right.
That's
but
it.
Scott, you're assuming that everyone knows. See, I have a theory that a lot of people who deal with diabetes don't even know a third of what you know.
Yeah. Oh, and they might be, I wasn't agreeing to say that I know a lot, but they might be, they might
you
be,
do.
They might be saying what they believe, and maybe they don't know it's going to change. So we should teach them just to add on to the rest of the sentence. And by the way, this is going to change moving forward. Or, you know, this is not the only insulin. If you're not having luck with it, talk to your doctor about other insulins. You know, this maybe you'll get an insulin pump one day. There are many different kinds. I don't know about them. You should look into them. Like the rest of the sentence is the problem.
Right.
Yeah. So because right. nobody shares.
I mean, but
it.
We've had a diabetes educator, nurse or whatever, tell my son, like when I'm asking why he's going high after this and this meal, how much protein did he have? Oh, that's too much protein. Like, tell me that you can dose for protein. Tell me that there's a way to dose for fat. Don't tell me that's too much protein. He just can't eat that. Like, what does that even mean? Like, those were the kind of things I was getting.
Chicken.
And honestly, at one point when I asked the doctor, the endocrinologist, I said something about dosing for the arrows. I was starting to learn from the podcast and she looked at me like I had three heads. Yeah. I don't know if she knows that Dexcom has arrows. How are you an endocrinologist? Like, I don't know.
The arrows? What arrows? What are we talking about?
She gave me that look like I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now I finally have someone to talk about this with. So let's divert for a second. When I gave the talk at the Orthodox event, by just the luck of the draw, I got to be the Shabbos Goy for somebody. And I was super excited. So this great thing happened for me, not for everybody else. But at sundown, the elevator became my private elevator because nobody else would get into it anymore. And so I had a private elevator for a day. But I was standing at the elevator at the end of an evening, waiting for the car, and there were a bunch of people at the stairwell getting ready to go up the stairs. And, you know, I looked at them and I smiled because what I was really thinking was, oh, I'm so sorry that you can't use the elevator, but I'm going to get into it anyway. And these two people who are not together, a woman and a kid in a stroller and a guy, an older guy, I don't know, mid-20s, they start talking to each other, but in Yiddish. And I'm like, this is probably about me, but that's okay. So I just stood there.
Don't actually speak it. Yeah.
Don't worry. That's not the point of the story. And then in English, she goes, he doesn't know. And I went, I might know. So he turns to me. And by the way, I was right. They were talking about me. And he turns to me and he goes, are you on the sixth floor? And I said, I am. And he goes, can you help me? And I went, do you need me to shut off lights? And they laughed a little. And he goes to her, he knows. And I was like, Shabbos Goy. And they start laughing. And the guy goes, how do you know? And I went, Howard Stern? I was like,
oh my God.
That got more laughing. And And he gave me his room number. I was waiting at the door. I was so excited. And so then it was just very interesting. It was only 30 seconds, but it was very, very interesting that, first of all, I came in the room. He first checked to make sure his wife was decent. She's in bed, like under pillows and blankets, trying to sleep, but she can't because every light in the room is on. And I come in and this is the part I didn't quite understand, but it felt like he couldn't directly ask me to shut the lights off.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Okay. And so like, I just walk into the room, make the assumption, and I'm like reaching for a light and waiting for like, I think this one's okay. And I push the button, it went off, and this voice comes out from under the blankets, and it's an exhausted voice. And she just goes, "Thank you." So now the room's dark except for the bathroom light. And as I'm walking past the bathroom to the door, I kind of like look at it like this one too. And he sort of looks at me like, And I thought, oh, they'll shut the door and then they'll have access to the light overnight. I was like, okay, I got it. Anyway, I walked out of that room. I felt like I went to Disneyland. I was so... I was like texting my wife. I'm going down the hall. I'm like, oh my God, guess what I just got to do? Anyway.
You actually, right, you're supposed to only hint to someone, like say, oh, it's really light in here, but we can't turn off the light.
Yeah. I had such a good time that weekend because I have I have enough Yiddish phrases, again, from listening to Howard Stern for my whole life, that I was like whipping them out and people were very impressed. Like,
that's so funny. Yeah, you probably know more Yiddish than me.
I was giving a talk. Oh my gosh, what happened at that talk? Somebody used a phrase, eating my kishkas out. Oh, no, wait. They were eating something called a kishka. That's right.
Yes.
And I try to imagine, like, there's 200 people in the room because everyone split up, men and women, for dinner. And I was giving a talk that night in the ladies' side. And so it was kind of interesting and a little weird, if I'm going to tell you. Like, we were up on a riser, so it was like I was at my own wedding. And everybody was down on the floor and I was up on the riser. Anyway, they're bringing out food. And every time food came out, they'd come around and tell us what it was, et cetera. And I stopped the person. I was like, wait, I don't understand. This is a kishka? And she says, yes. I'm like, well, then where does the phrase eating your kishkas out come from? And then that turned into like a whole conversation with the entire room. And people are like laughing and you could hear people going, how does he know what that is? And like, you know, I don't know. I had such a good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, private elevator was the best part of the weekend. It's like, this is just for me.
It's waiting on your floor when you wake up in the morning.
I swear to God, it was lovely. Anyway. Okay. So I don't know. Anyway, I just wanted to tell somebody that story, I think. So today, modern day, is only two years since all this happened to Daniel. He sounds like he's doing really well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your podcast has literally... Scott, you don't know what you're doing. It's out of control. You're like literally changing the world. It's not normal. He has, you know, obviously I went and listened to a lot of episodes. I listened to the Pro Tip series. That was very helpful.
Oh, good.
And we kind of changed one thing at a time. And I think I told you in my letter, it was a month where he was only 40% in range. And range at that point was up to 180. Mm-hmm. He had really hurt his leg. He was in a wheelchair. It was a whole whatever. And so he was running super high and I did a few changes. And the last week, which is part of that average of 40, he was 80% in range.
Wow.
From 1 week, I probably did a pre-bolus and, you know, correcting. I don't remember what it was that we changed, but I mean, he went from, we got down to a nice, like 6.2, 6.1 A1C. We switched to Omnipod 5 when it came out. Mm-hmm. And actually a month ago, we started looping. I was fighting with the Omnipod 5 too much.
Okay.
And I didn't like where he was sleeping. He was sleeping. It was okay. It was a nice flat line, but it was like at 130, mm-hmm. 125. And I just couldn't. So we actually, I actually hired Jenny. She's been amazing. She helped us switch over to loop and help me with the settings. And we're getting there. I can't say we have the settings completely dialed in, sure. But I can see that the potential is amazing.
Oh, that's excellent. Good for you. I'm thrilled that the podcast is helpful for you. Actually, I just had, this will be way later than that, so it doesn't matter if I tell you, but I just had the Pro Tip series professionally remastered by an audio engineer. And
I saw you put that up on Facebook.
Yeah, I'm super excited about it. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I went back and realized that in the first like 15 episodes, Jenny's microphone was not good. And a lot of the leveling was off and I didn't really know what I was doing, but I'm so busy making the podcast. Like I can't go backwards. You know what I mean? Like I can't go back to deal with something else. So I spent some money. Person did a wonderful job. We're going to re-release them at episode 1000 so that they're all
together. That's amazing. Yeah, that series is really incredible. That series can change people. I listen to all the episodes. I listen as many as I can, but that one series I think is like key.
I was having yesterday I had a meeting with an advertiser and I was selling ads on the remastered Pro Tip series. And so I'm on the call and I said to this person, I'm just going to say this. I was like, I can't make this claim anywhere, like for real. I'm like, but I believe you listen to the Pro Tip series. If you understand it reasonably, you're going to get an A1C between like 6 and 6.5. And I said, and I think if you really understand it and want to put in the time, I think you can get an A1C in the high fives, mid high fives, just with what's in there.
We got to 5.9. My son was like dancing in the Enzo's office.
Damn right.
But then our last one was like 6.2. We're going to have to, I think with looping, it's going to take us a little longer because you really have to adjust the settings yourself. It's not a smart system. It's not going to figure out your basal or,
Mm-hmm. No, of course. We're not up to that yet. I mean, I even think, like Omnipod 5, for example, T-Slim, all these things. I think that as time goes forward, you should see them. I mean, if I was running those companies, I think you should see them kind of turn the screws a little bit on the algorithm and make them more and more, customizable, that kind of stuff. Because right now, for someone like me, Arden's been looping for years at this point. And so we're just sort of ahead of the curve a little bit it'll all catch up. I like the way they started it, to be perfectly honest, because if you think about the world in general, you can't just drop a device on everybody that's shooting for like a that can shoot for a 5.5 A1C because people are going to get low constantly. They're not going to know what they're doing. Like you're going to have to teach the populace how to do this and move forward, I think.
So now the fact that there are systems that you can kind of slap on and you don't have to be that, you'll get a decent A1C better than before these devices. Yeah.
Oh, it's
without
amazing.
Knowing that much is amazing for most people.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, listen, if we could somehow put this in the ear of every person living with diabetes, not just the people who listen to a podcast or out searching for, better ways, and you told them, this is Omnipod 5, wear it, you'll be 130, 110 overnight stable. They'd run. They'd be like, oh my God, how? Like, please.
Right.
Yeah. So I think we can get a little confused sometimes. At least I try very hard not to, thinking that the people who find the podcast are very motivated. They're people who are out there looking, you know what I mean? And so you end up finding people who are similarly mindsetted about like outcomes or their desires for their diabetes. That's not most people. Most people have the story you have or the story someone else has where they get bad information in the front, their blood sugars are high all the time, and they live their whole life like that.
So, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, any one of those algorithms.
I find it fascinating. I'm occupational therapist, but I really do want to maybe train to be a diabetes educator. I have a lot to learn, but I'm very interested in it. Very interested. It's fascinating.
That's excellent. Good for you.
I see how you could help people. People call me all the time, people who have a newly diagnosed kid or something, and I'll talk to parents and I find like information is so valuable. Like it's just, you could really change someone's life.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's wonderful. I hope you do that. I hope everybody like helps somebody because it's what's going to spread the information more quickly. I can't do it. Like as much impact as I'm having, it's not that much. Like in the grand scheme of things. I mean, if everybody with diabetes heard just the Pro Tip series, I mean, this podcast would be bigger than, you know, Joe Rogan. So like, you know,
I think that, that in like 20 years, you're going to realize people are going to look back and realize that you actually tipped the world in terms of diabetes.
Aww.
You're doing something no one else is doing. It's not normal.
Thank you. Should I ask for a statue with that when that happens? I'll probably be dead. Don't you think? Like,
I hope you're not dead.
The world will like understood what happened. And they'll come to tell me, and like whoever answers the phone, be like, "Oh, you just died. you were calling to tell him what? Oh, he would have loved to have known that. No, he about 6 hours ago he left." Well, you're very nice to say that. I don't know if that's true or not. I can just tell you that I think through maybe a confluence of where technology is, being able to podcast, getting in the situation where I learned what I learned and I practiced talking about it on a blog. So I'm probably good at explaining it. I think it all just sort of came together. Meeting Jenny, such a big deal, you know, because just think, without Jenny, the Pro Tip series is just me pontificating about things. And maybe that right. even wouldn't have been okay. Like maybe the style would have not been right, or like, it kind of helps that Jenny and I seem like two such incredibly different people. But if you really listen, we really agree about diabetes.
I don't know how you found Jenny. Yeah, you think exactly alike.
A wonderful person named Ginger introduced me to her. Another person in the diabetes community. She just said, "I think you would really like Jenny." So had Jenny on the show once as a guest back in the 100s, maybe. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. Loved her, brought her back. Like a year later, because I just was like, "Oh, I really love talking to her. I should put her back on the podcast." And then, as the podcast started approaching 200 episodes, I found it unreasonable to say to people, "If you listen to the podcast, you know, I think your A1C, or blah blah blah. There's information inside of it. You'll call it out and put it together." And I was like, "Why don't I just take all that stuff and put it together in a series? I'll call it like Diabetes Pro Tip." And oh, what if I had Jenny on with me? That's pretty much how it went.
So, right.
Yeah. And then we just got on. It's all, that entire series is freestyled. So meaning.
Right.
Yeah.
You guys didn't plan it, right?
No, we made a bullet list of ideas and then took the bullets and made each bullet an episode and sat down and recorded. So I would say, "Okay, Jenny, today we're going to talk about pre-bolusing." And then we would just start talking. So,
right. So yes. You left some of that in. So we know.
So you know that it wasn't planned. We didn't have any notes just in case you're wondering, like, why did this go astray here? Why did he tell a story about an elevator and a, because as we're just chatting anyway, it's really cool. I'm thrilled that it's helping you and other people. And it's very nice of you to say, thank you.
It's been amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm terrific. Let's move forward. What else are we not talking about? Is there anything else you wanted to go over?
Not really. I feel like sometimes being part of the Orthodox community, I feel like people try to hide their diabetes. A lot of people, for some reason, and I don't know if that's specific to this community or if it's like it goes on everywhere, but I find it to be so unhealthy. And so it's even dangerous. My husband found out like last year that he had students go through his classroom that had diabetes and he didn't even know.
No idea.
And like, it's so dangerous. And I find it to be like, I think for a child also, imagine like having to deal with diabetes and then also feeling like you have to keep that a secret. Like that kind of pressure on a kid is crazy. Like it can make you, you know, in addition to being really dangerous. I mean, we know an adult who actually no one knew they had diabetes until they passed out at work and they called his wife and she's like, "He's diabetic. Give him sugar. Give him," like, and it's like, that should never, ever happen. Like,
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't want to give away anybody's confidences and I certainly wouldn't, but I did have that experience where I was with 200 type ones who were Orthodox and their spouses. And it occurred to me that it did look like people were very quiet about it. And people would kind of tell me, like, "Keep pushing. Like, nobody talks about it." Like, you know, like that kind of stuff. And at one point during one of my talks, I think I was giving a talk about supporting a spouse with type 1. And I just sort of offhandedly said, you know, make sure that you know how to use the glucagon that your spouse has. And hands went up. What is that?
No.
Like, oh, they were like, yeah. So there were situations where spouses had it and weren't even telling their spouse about it. And like keeping it that kind of quiet. Like, so it was upsetting. It was an upsetting conversation because I was like, oh, okay, well, insulin can make your blood sugar low. I'm like, oh God, am I saying this in front of a bunch of people that don't know it? You know, and
oh my God.
Yeah. And there were also some newer diagnosed people there too. Like, so I don't think everybody wasn't talking about it, but it was clear that people were very, very private about this stuff. And
right.
I take your point. I think you have to, no matter if you're Orthodox or not, like, I think you have to let people around you know, like, this is my situation. Yes. This is what could happen. And here's how you stop it. Because if you get into the spot where you can't help yourself, you can't help yourself.
And, right.
Yeah, that's that.
Right. So. And it's also just the, you know, for someone living with diabetes, you already have a lot of difficult things that you're dealing with every day. To add secrecy onto that just increases your stress level by a million.
Yeah.
Imagine a kid that feels like they can't tell their friends or their teacher. That's crazy. Like, so to me, that's a really, like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. My son, we spoke to everyone at the school before he started school that year. And he spoke to his classmates on the first day of school because it happened over the summer. And his friends, you know, when he told them, and I get a phone call from a friend because her kid came home and said, Noki, I won't say his last name, he is the coolest kid. He has a rabbit and a lizard and he has diabetes. And she's like, whoa, 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 what? And she calls me and she's like, something happened over the summer.
Yeah. Hey, we got diabetes over the summer. We also bought an in-ground pool.
But the kid thought it was the coolest thing. I guess, I don't know. He came with his technology and he's showing everyone, you know, his phone, and, you know, they're not allowed phones, but he has a phone obviously. And, you know,
Excellent. Do you, I don't know what the word is. I don't have the word, but Shabbos, do you do that every weekend?
Yes.
How does he make out with that?
Well, by Jewish law, you can do anything for diabetes on Shabbat. You can use your phone. You can use a scale to weigh your food. You can use, diabetes is considered like a dangerous situation,
right?
Because an emergency can develop. So we treat it at just about like a regular day. He puts his phone in a special case actually that says Shabbat on it. And on the back, it says in Hebrew, you should guard your life, which is a quote from like the Torah about, you know, taking care of yourself. And so he keeps it in that case. And then if he takes it out somewhere, people know that, like, you know, he's using it for some reason.
I see. Is that specific to your, what am I trying to say?
Like my branch of Judaism, you mean?
Like, do you need someone to tell you that's okay? Like, would you have to move temples, for example, to find somebody who's okay with that, or not necessarily?
In this situation, no. Because with life or death situations, even the strictest Jews, life is very, very valued in the Jewish religion, and it supersedes anything.
Gotcha. Okay.
Like, I think the only thing we wouldn't be allowed to do to save your life is like kill someone. Like, if you put a gun to my head and said, kill this person, maybe I wouldn't be allowed to do it. I don't know.
But I see.
We guard our life over everything. So, and that counts more than the other, you know, prohibition. So in terms of like Shabbat, we handle it just about the same. I mean, I try to do things to make it a little easier. We have like an iPad glued to the wall in the kitchen that's on constant display of follow. So I don't have to take out my phone and look up to see his numbers. I could just see it all the time. Mm-hmm. We actually leave it up all the time because it's really easy that way.
Oh, I see. Well, that makes sense. Okay. What about the kind of, I mean, are you not having like traditional foods after the end? After like when the lights come back on and you guys are eating, like a lot of those traditional foods were difficult to bolus for. Do you avoid those?
What kind of food?
I don't know. I don't know. It was a bunch of food I'd never seen before in my entire life. And it was all like, there was like a lot of oil. It was heavy. And I was like, oh my God, how are you guys bolusing for all this? Like it's really.
So That organization that I think is the one that brought you in to speak, they actually have a handout that
The doctors have, I got it from a friend. I don't know why my doctors didn't give it to me. Maybe they don't think I look as religious. I don't know. I dress religious. I cover my hair. I don't know. But it's a sheet that actually has, tells you how to bolus for different foods, like by weight or by volume. But in general, my family does not eat, I think, as heavy as that. We okay. eat kind of more, more American and a little bit more healthy. I read The Glucose Revolution. I try to incorporate some of those strategies. We eat more healthy in general.
Gotcha.
My son has Magic Spoon. He likes it. So I know there's a whole debate about the taste, but he likes it. So he takes that for school, for breakfast. We do eat like more on Shabbat, and we probably eat like some foods that are less healthy, but not all the grease and the, not really.
Okay. You should have seen, there were at meals where I was there with a CD. There was also another person there speaking, and he and I kind of became close. We were, you know, both not celebrating. So we were just next to each other. But at one point I said, is it midnight? Are we eating at midnight? What is happening? I should be asleep.
like Saturday night?
Yeah. Like, I guess, it was like this late meal. And I was like, what is happening? And then they like showed us a plate, and they were like, how would you bolus for this? So he and I like kind of went off to the side. We both came up with a bolusing strategy for this meal. And he kind of went with one idea, and I went with another. And we, you know, stood up, and we gave it. And people were like, no, that's not right. Blah, blah, blah. It was really fantastic. And then the next day, someone came up to me and said, I did what you said for my meal, and my blood sugar was like 77 afterwards. That's never happened before. He's like, you really know what you're doing. And I was like, I mean, I guess. he's like, I never would have done what you said to do. And it just worked out so well. And I was like, oh, I'm happy for you. And I was like, there we go. Like, I'm going to go.
That's
now.
Amazing.
Yeah. So it was really, I don't know. I had a great time, but anyway. Okay. Well, you're on vacation, so I'm going to let you go. But I really appreciate you going over all this with me. It's incredibly interesting. You were very kind a number of times about the podcast. I appreciate that too. I'm glad Daniel's doing so well, and that you guys are still learning things and moving forward. It's all like really heartwarming for me to hear. So good for you.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Will you hold on 1 second for me?
Sure.
Thanks. Arden has been getting her diabetes supplies from US Med for 3 years. You can as well. usmed.com/juicebox or call 888-721-1514. My thanks to US Med for sponsoring this episode and for being longtime sponsors of the Juice Box podcast. There are links in the show notes and links at juiceboxpodcast.com to US Med and all of the sponsors. Huge thanks to Cozy Earth for sponsoring this episode of the Juice Box podcast. CozyEarth.com. Use the offer code JUICEBOX at checkout to save 40% off of your entire order. A huge thanks to Dexcom for supporting the podcast and for sponsoring this episode. Dexcom.com/JUICEBOX. Go get yourself a Dexcom G7 right now using my link. Thinking about getting an algorithm pump? Don't know where to begin? JUICEBOXPODCAST.com. Up in the menu, click on Algorithm Pumping, and you're going to get a long list of a lot of episodes that will help you to understand better. JuiceBoxPodcast.com. Find Algorithm Pumping. If you're looking for community around type 1 diabetes, check out the Juice Box Podcast private Facebook group, Juice Box Podcast, Type 1 Diabetes. But everybody is welcome. Type 1, type 2, gestational, loved ones, it doesn't matter to me. If you're impacted by diabetes and you're looking for support, comfort, or community, check out Juice Box Podcast, Type 1 Diabetes on Facebook. If you're not already subscribed or following in your favorite audio app, please take the time now to do that. It really helps the show. And get those automatic downloads set up so you never miss an episode. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back very soon with another episode of the Juice Box Podcast. The episode you just heard was professionally edited by Wrong Way Recording. WrongWayRecording.com.